Welcome to Blueprints for Brilliance Coaching Insights, a podcast by coaches for coaches. Our guests share their hard-won wisdom to help you grow your coaching business and create a life of success. So get ready to unlock the blueprints to your success. Hi, and welcome everyone to our latest episode. I'm thrilled that you're here. And I'm also thrilled to have Maeve Ferguson from Maeve Ferguson Coaching all the way from Northern Ireland. She is a business coach consultant. So welcome to the show, Maeve. I'm excited to hear more about what you do.
Hey, Deanne, thank you so much for having me on. I am really, really looking forward to jumping into this conversation.
Excellent. So let's talk about your journey. How did you end up becoming a business coach? They don't always teach that in school.
Yes, absolutely. And I think all of us actually have some kind of story to how on earth we ended up doing what we do. And I've had an interesting route, I guess, to becoming kind of the person who builds thought leadership diagnostics, builds quiz funnels for some of the biggest names in the industry. And it all is kind of, I feel like I've lived a few different chapters of my life. So a number of years ago, I used to be an amateur steeplechase jockey. I live in my own horse farm here in Ireland. And I did a whole chapter, did my undergraduate degree, traveled the world riding horses, basically. So that was a fun chapter that ended in me smashing up my neck and paralyzing one of my eyes and a whole lot of drama and health issues. And then I decided to go and get a real job. So I did my master's degree and then I moved in to work for Big Four Consulting, worked for Ernst & Young for many years in London. Qualified as an accountant and did that whole kind of city life thing whilst flying forward and back every weekend to Northern Ireland to ride horses and all of that. So I did that whole chapter in financial services, then moved into the private equity industry. And I headed up a team here of 47 people, really focusing very much on not only client delivery, but also kind of product development. And I headed up our continuous improvement function. So very, very process driven, very process oriented person. And then a really, really long story cut short, I ended up catching a virus. And at this chapter of my life, my career was absolutely flying. I was training 6 days a week. I was running and winning like long distance races. And I caught a virus and I spent 4 years in bed, incredibly, incredibly sick. Had to get a wheelchair to get around the house and on it went. But anyway, it was the best thing that ever happened to me because it was the only thing that actually got me to stop, slow down and assess what was I doing with this one really precious life that I had been given. So I made the decision to leave corporate, retrained as an executive coach, and then jumped headfirst into this industry that we're all in, that prior to that I didn't even know existed, to be totally honest. And it's like many, many years ago now, and I ran my own coaching business then for about 6 years. And very quickly realized that I was super good at the tech, automations, infrastructure, systems, which most coaches actually hate. And invariably then one thing led to another. We got into the quiz funnel world, which is the fastest way to bring qualified leads into your coaching business. And we started then building these for all of our coaching clients so that they too could have really hyper-qualified leads coming in. And yeah, the rest is history. So now we do that solely for our clients. We build these diagnostic assessments. So if you've ever been through something like Enneagram, Myers-Briggs, DISC, we are the geeks that build those things. And then on the other end of the spectrum, the quiz funnel, which is really, really powerful lead qualifier. So very random story as to how I got here.
Wow, you did really go roundabout, didn't you? You started out as a jockey and then got a real job, which a lot of people is interesting. They get a real job and then something happens and then they decide to go to work for themselves, which is also my story. So I love that. And then running and then getting sick. I'm so sorry for that. But like you said, I love that your attitude is the best thing that ever happened to me. That's fantastic. 100%.
Absolutely the best thing that ever happened, because I genuinely don't think I would have stopped had it not stopped me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that often is the way, isn't it? Something outside of your control changes your focus and your direction. But we're glad that you're healthy and happy now and helping other people. So talk to me a little bit about the diagnostic assessments and quizzes that are helping your clients.
Yes, absolutely. So I think one of the main things I see in this industry is where we have people who, we all have our lists, our email lists. And if you're sending the same email to every single person on your list, what we find is that is literally kind of spray and pray. We are hoping that some of the words that we write in our email are going to land with somebody on that list. And the problem is, and the reason why that's happening, is that so many coaches, consultants, service providers have these PDF lead magnets, and anybody and everybody can opt in. Most people never even open it, never move it out of spam, never mind click the thing, never mind read the thing, never mind do anything with it. And what happens then is we don't actually have any data. We don't have any insights into the leads coming into our business. We don't know who's a good lead, who's a bad lead, who's high quality, who's low quality, who's able to invest in our 10K, 20K, 30K coaching, versus who are the people who are maybe going to be able to buy our $97 thing. So what we set out to do then was like, how can we on the front end of the business build these quiz funnels, build these diagnostics that tell us every single thing that we need to know about our leads so that we can both qualify them but also classify them. So we have a classification system to say here are the tier one leads. So every single day, as tier one leads pour into our company, our sales team are getting tagged, notified to say a tier one lead has just come in. If a tier four lead comes in, they know to allow the automated nurture sequences and all of those fabulous things to do their job. But we are able to focus our attention on the most potent leads coming into our business because we have the infrastructure, because we have the data, because we have the systems. And then what that really, really allows us to do is to have that hyper segmentation so that whenever we are emailing our list, we're not spraying and praying. We're not sending people stuff that they're simply not interested in. We are getting every data point about our leads and then only inviting them to the things that they've already told us that they want. This is why our conversion rate is so crazy. This is why our sales calls aren't really sales calls. They are, how does it work? When can we start conversations? Because they're so qualified prior to jumping on the call with our sales team, they already know they want it. It's just a matter of when they can slot it into their kind of business plans for themselves and the team and fit it in with us and all of those types of things. And that hyper qualification is just something we have become absolutely obsessed with over the last number of years. And the reason is because it works.
I love that. It's hard to get that across sometimes, that the segmentation is so important. I think because initially people aren't sure how to segment. How do I determine who goes in this basket or who gets that automation sequence? So I
Absolutely.
would love to learn a little bit more. My other question is, how do you get people to answer all the questions? You know what I mean? Sometimes the more you ask someone, especially when they're getting something free, the less they're apt to fill it out. So.
So I think there's so much that goes into diagnostic design, and that's why we spend like a full VIP day with our clients designing out their diagnostic. And what I love to do is we got to begin with the end in mind. So we always begin with the offer. What is your coaching package? What is that, program, whatever that you are selling on the back end? Then reverse out of that, what is your sales mechanism? So are we driving them to a micro product? Are we driving them to a call? Are we driving them to a webinar? So what is that sales mechanism? And then reversing out from there, we've got another couple of pieces of the puzzle between that sales mechanism and a cold lead of the internet that has never had a single piece of interaction with us. Okay. And what we have there is the hook. Okay. So the hook has to be a question that we ask our people that they simply cannot scroll past. They see the hook, they see the question, and they're like, I don't know. I want to know. And then that at least triggers off the opt-in. Okay. Now we always advise put our opt-in up front so that the way I kind of equate it is that you still get your opt-in. Okay. Even if they don't complete, I equate the quality of that person that doesn't complete as exactly the same quality as a PDF lead magnet person. Okay, so you still have their name, their email address, their phone number, if they provided it, and we have a lead on our list. And for example, our funnels are running at about $3.31 per opt-in. Okay, which is super, super low, especially for I'm in the business niche as well. It's a really, really good CPL for that. But then what we got to do is there's a balance here and it depends on your package at the back end. So if you are, say for us, for example, I actually use our diagnostic assessment as a filtration mechanism because not everybody is ready to work with me. Not everybody is at the right level to actually get on our sales teams' calendars. Okay. And that's okay. So we actually use ours to filter people out. So some of our questions, and I'll share the link so people can go through it later, but some of our questions allow people to say, they might email in and say, I don't know the answer to that. And it's like, good, okay, the diagnostic is doing its job. Okay. So we are able to get all of the answers to all of the questions, and then we can actually build audiences of people. So for example, we can build audiences of people are right, who are the people who are doing between 0 and 6 figures a year? That's a very different human being to somebody who's doing 5 million a year. Okay, and then what you can do with these diagnostics is then you're able to put the right offer and the right message in front of the right person at the right time because they've answered questions in certain ways. And then so when people aren't completing, we call them like a non-complete is like the lingo that we use. Whenever we have a non-complete, we still have the lead, and then you can have different follow-up sequences based on what they have answered, where they left. You can set up bounce sequences to drive them back in to finish in case, it happens all of us. I'm sitting there, one of my children screams, forget about the assessment that I'm taking, and off I go to fix whatever drama has happened with my 3-year-old or my 5-year-old. And then you come back and the assessment is ancient history in your mind. But then you have these bounce sequences to drive people who are legitimately interested, drive them back in. And for those who aren't, then you can siphon them off down a non-complete nurture sequence to pop them in to appropriate email nurtures based on what they have told you so far.
You're so speaking my language. I am with you. I am the automation and the tech and the back end, and let's start from the end. Because a lot of people don't get that. They don't understand. They just think, oh, I can create one thing and it's for everybody. And it's never one thing for everybody. So I'm curious, if you don't mind sharing, you mentioned that you talk, you've segmented people, 0 to 6 figures, and then let's say, 6 to 7, and then 7 multiple. What other types of segmentation do you do?
Yeah, so that's a perfect example of that's one of the things we put in place to identify our tier one leads. Okay, so they're over X amount of revenue, their email list size is, Y, and we know all of these different parameters that we know from our audience. This is a tier one lead. But that's fine if you're in an ROI niche, so that it's a business niche, you're making people money. What questions do you ask if you have a non ROI niche, if you're helping somebody with something that isn't actually tangible? So a couple of really good questions there to identify your tier one leads would be how long they've been struggling with the problem. Okay, so if somebody woke up with this problem this morning, highly unlikely that they're going to invest in a coach today to solve said problem. Okay, so we're trying to identify the people who've been struggling with it for a long time. Another really good question is how much have they already invested in solving said problem? Okay, so if you think about your VAs and that amazing service that you provide for people, how many hours are you spending every single week doing repetitive tasks over and over again? For you, they're saying over 15 hours. Well, having an amazing VA who is pre-trained for them to do said tasks, it's going to be highly valuable to them. Whereas if somebody's like, half an hour, they're probably not in enough pain, air quote pain, to invest in that service. So that's kind of one way in, but that's very much about the lead classification piece. So who are the people who, from a classification standpoint, are hottest people who are bound to be ready to work with us right now? But that's all about us. And our lead doesn't see any of that on their side. They don't know that we have this on the back end. But for them, we got to give them value. And the problem with PDF lead magnets is that ordinarily they are so bad to be true. It's like some of them are absolutely dire. Most of them end up in spam. Most people don't click the email, never mind read the email, never mind open the dang thing, never mind read the dang thing, never mind actually get to the call to action. That was the whole point of the lead magnet in the first place. And the difference here is for these quiz funnels or diagnostic assessments, the value that we share with our lead is exponentially higher than what they get in a PDF lead magnet. And the reason for that is every word of copy that they read, every single thing that they see, as well as the invitation that they get, is personalized to them based on the answers that they gave us. So you're actually getting, but like, hey, Maeve, your sales score is X, and it's literally, so it's, it uses your first name, it pulls through all of the answers that you gave, and it's so personalized. Like our assessment, for example, has a 72-page follow-up report where we give so much value, but the value given is personalized to the results that that person got. And that's multi seven figure player is going to see completely different copy from somebody who is in a different chapter of business. So it's just, but the whole thing is, it's done automatically. It's done via the infrastructure. So once it's built, this thing just runs and qualifies our leads for us every single day. And just to kind of wrap up my answer on that, too, as well as the classification piece, we want to think about what do we want to ask people questions about. And the best thing to do there is to think about your framework. Most of us have a framework, a process, a methodology, whatever label we want to put on it. We have a system that we bring people through to get them from A to B to get said result. And when you think about that framework, there are pillars or sections or whatever we want to call them. And then within each of those pillars, there are kind of subsections that we can ask questions around. So that's where the questions come from. And then when those questions are crafted in a really curious way, and they're written in a way that your user feels is like, oh my goodness, she actually gets it. That's what keeps them going through right through to completion.
I love that. Oh, got me all excited. Now I have to go back and do the quizzes. So one thing we haven't talked about is how do you get the leads coming in?
Oh yes, the water in the pipes conversation. I
You
love this.
go.
This always makes me chuckle because we inside of our company, we literally build diagnostic assessments and quiz funnels for our clients. And I am the first person in the world to say funnels are completely pointless if there's no water in the pipes. So if we have 6 followers on Instagram and we post once a month, no matter how amazing your assessment is, no matter how amazing your quiz is, that thing ain't going to do a dang thing for your business because there's no water in the pipes. And I actually wrote an article on this just last weekend over in Substack, where if we think about the quality of the water in our pipes, if we are driving $10 people through the pipes of our business, i.e. your quiz funnel, and you have a 10K offer, a 50K offer, whatever that number is, no matter how amazing you are as a coach, no matter how brilliant you are, that isn't, they can't invest. They are never going to be able to jump onto your thing, even if they want to. So there's two pieces here, is rich niche positioning. And this has been such a profound shift for so many of our clients. So especially where they're in kind of maybe a life coach space or relationship coaching space, if your top of funnel messaging, your top of funnel positioning, your top of funnel copy is screaming out to poor me types or struggle bus people or negative things or trauma that they've had or problems that they've had, that copy is going to attract a certain type of person into your pipes. So what we want to do is, if we think about, and this is more applicable if you have high ticket offers, anything kind of 3K, 4K, 10K, 50K, whatever your number is, we got to consider who are the people that we are bringing in. And from a copy perspective, how can we speak only to the rich niche? How can we elevate that copy so we're not bringing in any struggle bus people who are never going to be able to invest in themselves? And this is where I feel so many coaches start, they start losing confidence in themselves. They start thinking that it's them. And then they go off to some bro marketer and buy some other shiny thing, some other shiny program that's going to fix the entire universe. And it's never that thing. They are trying to put a square peg into a round hole because they're not actually putting the right message and the right offer in front of the right person, bang at the right time.
Fantastic. So tactically, do you use like ads? Are your clients finding people in other places or both?
It would have been really helpful if I'd actually answered your question. So let me actually answer your question. So we do it in three different ways. Okay. So we've got organic, which is all of the standard posted and adding people to your audience who are ideal clients, posted on your organic profile, doing what we call hand raisers. So we all know the game of the keyword comment down below, keyword into the DMs, and then we send them through that way. So that's one way to do it. And organic isn't free, because organic you pay with time. Now, then we have on the other end of the spectrum, I'll get back to the third in just a moment. On the other end of the spectrum, you can run paid traffic. Now, one of my clients is running $900,000 a month in Facebook ads. Other clients are running $5 a day. So it doesn't have to be, even for me, that makes me laugh. But for $5 a day, just to get started, you'll be bringing qualified leads through that diagnostic, through that quiz funnel, steady Eddie every single day. Couple of leads, couple of leads, couple of leads. And obviously, you can, as you get into positive ROAS, you can then jump it up to 10 and 15 and 20 and 50 and all of the things. But we have to make a move. We can't just post something on the internet and think people are going to find it. It just doesn't work like that. Even starting with $5 a day is going to start to bring hyper, hyper qualified leads into your business. And that's the paid traffic lay, right up to $900,000 a month. And I'm sure there's people here spending even more. So that's a paid traffic play. And then my favorite is what we are actually doing right now, and it's what I call scalable organic. So yes, you are still, and I discovered this one when I had my first baby, and I discovered very quickly that newborn babies and sales conversations and newborn babies and anything don't go very well hand in hand. So I was just like, right, I have 1 hour of silence. I can either post once on Facebook, for example, and see what happens, or I can use that single hour to get myself and what I do in front of an audience of maybe 1,000 downloads, maybe 10,000 downloads, or some of the other bigger shows that I've been on, maybe hundreds of thousands of downloads for that particular episode. So scalable organic is podcast guesting, bringing your expertise to other people's audiences, building beautiful relationships with the hosts and all of that kind of thing, showcasing their businesses as well. And then what I've been moving into very much, the kind of the focus in our business over the last year or so, is doing a lot of keynote speaking. Because again, if you think about these assessments, if you think about these quiz funnels, when somebody is on a podcast, what's the first thing the host asks? Where are we sending people? We don't want to send our people, oh yeah, you know, find me over on Facebook, okay, because that's not going to grow your business. You might get a few more friends, but it's not going to grow your business. And then likewise that when you're speaking on stage, how can the audience keep in touch with you, etc.? Well, you just put them through your diagnostic. So you always have a really powerful lead magnet that is super attractive to the listener or the watcher if you're on stage, and also brings you all of that data and that insight into all of your leads. So
I love that. I'm gonna have to talk to you after this. I have some things that you need to know or that I need to ask you.
No problem, no problem.
So this is absolutely fantastic. I mean, bottom line is that you need to segment your list properly and then ask enough questions to make sure what you offer is valuable and is solving their first problem. Do you agree?
Absolutely. So I always lead with how can we give people so much value that they're like, if this is for free stuff, rather than the gatekeep, oh, I'm going to tease this and then give it all to you once you pay me, just tell them your methodology. So really, really good tactic. And I'm going to butcher it now because one of my mentors over the last few years told me this. But it's like, how can we just give them so much value and then sell the implementation? So whenever, if you're, most of your audience are coaches, for example, tell them how to do it. But if they don't know how to coach them through themselves through said problem, they've gotten so much value from you. The other difference with the diagnostic assessment is that this is not just a double click autofill my email. They've spent 10 minutes with you already. 5 minutes, 10 minutes. They already know you, like you, trust you. It is collapsing the amount of time it takes to go from stranger to paying client, because it's not just something that they're doing when they're scrolling, scrolling, scrolling mindlessly on Instagram. That there is really, really, really important for getting those people. How can we get them to turn into clients as quickly as possible?
I love this so much. So tell us a little bit about your clients, the ideal clients for you. How big is their business, or are they, it doesn't sound like they're in a particular niche.
Yeah, so our clients, it's interesting actually, it's a range. So they tend to fall into two main categories. One is what I would call the expert category. And these are the people who are actually really good at something, but they're so good at their thing, but they're not born marketers, and that's okay. So they're not meant to be marketers. They're not meant to be me. They're not meant to be business consultants. They're not meant to be business advisors. They're meant to be good at what they actually do. That's one person. And the, you know, a lot of people ask me, when do you know you're actually ready for an assessment or for a quiz? And I always say, we got to have two things in place, because otherwise it is just, again, spray and pray, hit and hope, cross your fingers and hope to God that something lands. And what we got to have is, first of all, we got to know the struggles of our audience. We got to deeply understand what they are struggling with. And then the next thing we have to have, because in between those two things, we can join all of the dots, but we have to have an offer that people have shown us that they want to buy. So we can't wake up in the morning and say, I'm going to create this amazing thing. I've never sold a single one of these, but a quiz funnel is going to fix it. That's not going to fix a single thing. Okay, so we got to get what I call POC. We got to get our proof of concept. Has even a single human being paid us for said solution? Once we got a proof of concept, then we're into a whole different ball game. And that is kind of that's the whole piece around how do they know when they are ready in terms of our client base. That's kind of the expert gang. Then we have a gang that I would describe as the prescriptive nonfiction authors, and they want their book to live beyond their book. Now, quite often these prescriptive nonfiction authors are also coaches, they're also consultants, they're also advisors, but they have basically put their body of work into a book. But they don't actually have any infrastructure wrapped around it. So they might be selling copies of their book, but that is not actually translating into business. So what I do is I build their assessments that go inside of their books, that turn their books, not from a book, into that lead generating machine.
Absolutely fabulous. Yeah, we have a client who is a law firm, and she has a book as her lead magnet. She will send it free to anyone who reaches out to her. And it's so great.
It's a positioning piece. It's an absolute positioning piece. So if you're the type of person who has a book, a bestseller, and you have that book turned into a lead generating machine, hey presto, you've just a lead pipeline for life.
Fantastic. Well, I know for a fact that there are people listening to this thinking, I need to get a hold of Maeve. Where is she? How can I find her? So where's the best way for people to reach out to you?
So the obvious answer is to go to our diagnostic assessment. So in that assessment, you will discover your impact score and really discover, as a coach, what impact are you actually having on this world? Because there's one thing between having this dream of the impact that we want to have, but if our dream isn't actually translating into a business, a fully fledged business where we're serving clients every single week and bringing more and more people into our companies, we're never going to have the impact that we actually want to have. When you go through that diagnostic, we're going to score you on three different tiers: the expert tier, the authority tier, and then the thought leadership tier. And this is what, after working with thousands and thousands of coaches and experts, working with them, have really just distilled it down into nine key areas that we have to have humming along if we want to move out of the status of being like everybody else in our niche fighting the good fight on Facebook and all of the things, trying to like get a lead here and get a lead there. These are the nine things that we got to have in place to actually grow a company as opposed to some kind of half-baked hobby. And those nine areas are offer, leads, and sales. Then we have team, process, and system. Then we have diagnostic ability, leverage, and thought leadership. So we want to, and really, really thinking about that ecosystem that we have wrapped around all of our business. And what that assessment does is like, do you know what? When it comes to team, you're absolutely fine. Don't need to worry about that today. Nothing wrong there. But actually, when we look at your offer, this is your lowest score. Therefore, here's what you want to focus on. Here's what you want to work on. And it really, really gives you really raw insight into where we are focusing maybe on the wrong things inside of our business. And I see this all the time with, especially with newer coaches, actually, where they've maybe listened to some bro marketer out there who's told them that this is what you need. And they're putting the cart before the horse. And they might be focusing on writing a book or speaking on stage, but they don't actually know how to bring leads into their business yet. Or they don't have an offer that converts. And I'm a huge fan of like, let's get the foundations of our businesses absolutely rock salt before we move on to the chapters. Like for me in my business, for example, I'm over in America every 4 to 6 weeks. I'm speaking on stage, I'm going to mastermind events, I'm presenting at mastermind events. But had I not have all of this foundational stuff in place first, the whole thing would collapse. So it's like, let's put the cart before the horse, go through that diagnostic assessment. So you just go to impactscoreassessment.com, and I think it's going to be down in the show notes as well, and take your time. Don't do it half-hearted. Sit down and go through it properly, because it's going to give you a really, really good baseline as to where you are today and exactly what to focus on.
Fantastic. And what is the follow-up to that? Will you be reaching out to them? Potentially.
So the follow-up to that is you'll get a personalized 72-page report, and then you'll be invited to hop on and have a client engine strategy call with a member of my team if you meet certain qualification criteria. As I go through that and, you know, give it your best shot, but don't go through it and answer like what you think we want to hear. Let's be really, you know, there's no judgment, there's no like, oh, look at this person's score. The whole idea is that we get a true picture of where we are, where we want to get to. And then if I'm a big believer, it's like, if I can help you, we'll offer to help you. And if we can't, we'll point you in the direction of somebody who does. And a perfect example of that is one of the questions we ask inside of our assessment is about platforms. I don't know the first thing about YouTube, okay? But I have a really, really, really trusted partner who helps some amazing clients to does all of their channel management for YouTube. So let's pretend we're chatting and they're just like, all I need is somebody to run my YouTube channel. Well, I'm not going to offer to help you with that because I can't. I don't know anything about it. But because we have your diagnosis, because we know you're focused on that, we can then point you in the direction of a really trusted friend, colleague, person that we have been connected with for years to help you with that instead.
Yeah, we love having resources like you for people who really, really need your help. And I love that you talked about offers that convert, because, you know, it's one thing to have an offer. And I was just listening to a podcast on this that you like, that you think everybody wants, but it's actually not until you get out there and start talking to people to find out what actually their problems are. So
yes, absolutely. And it's, you know, and also to me, it's like, there's so many people. It's like, yeah, this got so much interest. And it's like, how many people paid you? Because having loads of people saying, this is amazing, I would love to do this, is very, very different to people actually typing in their credit card details and handing over their cold hard cash, you know?
Yeah, without a doubt. Well, this is fantastic. We will put your, as you said, your assessment in the show notes. So people just click and go right there. I have one last question for you, Maeve. It is, if you could provide one tip to make the world a better place, what would that be?
Build relationships from the get-go in your business. I am playing catch up from not focusing enough on relationships from the very early years of my business.
Fantastic. What a great way.
I have a book recommendation, if I may, as well. So Selena Su wrote an amazing book there this year called Rich Relationships. Highly, highly, highly recommend buying it on Amazon and giving it a read. It is superb.
Thank you. We always love book resources. And I tend to listen to them on Audible because I never have time to sit down and sit still and read. but this has been great. I appreciate you so much for coming on and sharing all of your expertise. This has been just phenomenal. So thank you.
No problem. Thank you so much for having me. Really, really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us today on Blueprints for Brilliance Coaching Insights. We hope you're leaving this episode with inspiration to take your coaching business and your life to the next level. If you found value in this episode, we would love it if you would subscribe and share it with someone else who you think might benefit from hearing it. Thanks, and we'll see you in the next episode.